ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 20 टेक्स्ट नंबर 12। क्षेत्राणि शस्य संपद्भिः कर्षकाणां मुदं ददू मानिनाम् अनुतापं वै दैवाधीनम् अजानता। क्षेत्राणि शस्य संपद्भिः कर्षकाणां मुदं ददू मानिनाम् अनुतापं वै दैवाधीनम् अजानता। क्षेत्राणि शस्य संपद्भिः कर्षकाणां मुदं ददू मानिनामनुतापं वै दैवाधीनम् अजानता। माताजीस क्षेत्राणि द फील्ड्स शस्य संपद्भिः विद देयर वेल्थ ऑफ ग्रेन्स कर्षकाणां टू द फार्मर्स मुदम जॉय ददू गिव मानिनाम टू अदर्स हु आर फॉल्सली प्राउड अनुतापम रिमोर्स वै इंडीड दैव अधीनम द कंट्रोल ऑफ डेस्टिनी अजानता नॉट अंडरस्टैंडिंग। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय द डिसाइपल्स ऑफ हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन विद द वेल्थ ऑफ ग्रेन्स द फील्ड्स गेव जॉय टू द फार्मर्स but those fields created remorse in the hearts of those who were too proud to engage in farming and to fail to understand how everything is under the control of the supreme. Purport: it is common for people living in large cities to become miserable and disgusted when there is ample rainfall, they do not understand or have forgotten that the rain is nourishing the crops they will eat. Although they certainly enjoy eating, they do not appreciate that with the rain the Supreme Lord is feeding not only human beings but also plants, animals and the earth itself. Modern sophisticated people often look down their noses at those engaged in agricultural work. In fact, in American slang, a simple, unintelligent person is sometimes called a farmer. There are also government agencies that restrict agricultural production because certain capitalists fear the effect on market prices. Because of various artificial and manipulative practices in modern governments, we find widespread food shortages throughout the world, even in the United States among the poverty-stricken. At the same time, we find the governments paying farmers not to plant crops. Sometimes these governments throw huge amounts of food into the ocean. Thus, the administration of the arrogant and ignorant, those who are too proud to obey the laws of God, or too ignorant to recognize them, will always cause frustration among the people, whereas a God-conscious government will provide abundance and happiness for all. Om Ajnatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Milidam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gura Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Itam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Svaitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayavacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Aminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshadarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation once again. With their wealth of grains, the fields gave joy to the farmers, but those fields created remorse in the hearts of those who were too proud to engage in farming and who failed to understand how everything is under the control of the Supreme. Hare Krishna. So I thank the devotees for giving me an opportunity to share some of the thoughts on this particular verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. I'd like to ask for the blessings of senior devotees, especially Radhesham Prabhu. I have to be especially alert about what I'm speaking. So, I was going through what Prabhupada speaks about this particular verse in the Krishna book and in the light of the Bhagavat. So in the Krishna book, Prabhupada says that why this, first of all he says that agriculture is the noblest of professions. So then he explains why the capitalists, they become morose when there is good crop, because they become fearful of a competitive price. Because if there is abundance of grains, then the market prices will go down and they cannot make much profit. Now in the light of Bhagavat, Prabhupada gives other explanations, more contemporary. He says that if the farmers have abundance of crop, they become financially very strong, and then it becomes difficult for the capitalists, the industrialists, to allure them to the cities to work in unhygienic conditions in the factories. They'll be satisfied in the villages, so they won't go to the cities to work in the factories. So therefore the capitalist becomes very morose. And another reason they become morose is because if the agriculturalists, they become financially strong, then they won't approach the capitalists for loan. And if they don't approach them for loan, they cannot exploit them. And we can see that these things are happening. You know, devotees who go for the bus party, they explain how the factories are such unhygienic places where it's so difficult to work, but still the farmers leaving their agricultural fields are coming and working in the factories. And also we see in places like Andhra Pradesh, so many farmers commit suicide because of financial loans they owe to the capitalists. So we see how this exploitation is a phenomena in the material world. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it explains, Astani sastanam apadani chatushpadam falguni tatramatam jivo jivasya jivanam, that this is the law of the material world. Those who have hands, they live upon those who have no hands. The four-legged animals, they devour the animals who have no legs. The weak are subsistence for the strong. And the general rule of the material world is jivo jivasya jivanam. One living entity gets exploited by other living entity. That is the law of the material world. This is how material nature pinches the conditioned soul, the living entity who have come into this material world, by making gradations of weak and the strong and the strongest. So no one can say that there is no one to exploit me. That is the law of nature. But Prabhupada says, but in human society, the law of good sense should prevail also. The law of good sense is according to the Shastras, where you understand that human life is for spiritual advancement. It's not about satisfying the material-based instincts of exploitation. So that is why we see the Varnashrama system. And in the Varnashrama system, everyone is properly protected. Even the simple agriculturalist, the simple farmer, he is protected by the Kshatriyas. He is not allowed to be exploited. So simplicity is not a drawback. It is an opulence. And the Varnashram allows to preserve this opulence of simplicity. It protects this opulence of simplicity within society. It's a very interesting pastime which Giriraj Maharaj shares in his book, Watering the Seed, that while trying to procure the Jew land, Prabhupada signed a contract with Mr. N. And then he left for the world tour. And Giriraj Maharaj, at that time, Brahmachari, and he and Yadurva Prabhu, they had to deal with Mr. N. So they were confused in the beginning, no? They thought something was fishy. But later on they understood, actually Mr. N was after them. And he was trying to cheat them. So Prabhupada returned to Bombay. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he went to Prabhupada and said, you know, Giriraj Maharaj says that maybe Tamal Krishna Maharaj wanted Prabhupada to chastise me. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he went to Prabhupada and said that Prabhupada, Mr. N actually, he bluffed to Giriraj. Royally cheated by Mr. N. So Prabhupada and Giriraj Maharaj, they shared a very special relationship. Lot of kindness Giriraj Maharaj received. So Prabhupada said, what can be done? Our Giriraj is very simple. So Giriraj Maharaj heard it and he felt that simplicity is like a disqualification. You know, I was simple, so I got cheated. So he had it in his mind that simplicity is a disqualification. And they used to go on morning walks and they used to read Krishna book on these morning walks. And in the course of reading Krishna book, this particular story comes wherein Nanda Maharaj goes to meet Vasudev in Mathura after Krishna's birth to pay his taxes. And then Vasudev warns Nanda Maharaj, I think you should return quickly to Vrindavan. I think there is a lot of danger for your son Krishna. So Nanda Maharaj returns and he actually finds that there was a lot of danger. Putana came, Trinavarta came. So Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book that Nanda Maharaj, being a simple farmer, a simple agriculturalist, he thought that Vasudev is a foreseer. Now how come he could say that there was danger for Krishna? Maybe he can foretell the future. But actually, Vasudev, being a diplomat, a kshatriya, he could foretell what could be Kamsa's next move. That is how he predicted. But Nanda Maharaj, he thought, wow, it's so miraculous. He's a foreseer. So there, Nanda Maharaj is described as simple by Prabhupada. So Giriraj Maharaj, he raised this doubt to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, isn't simplicity a disqualification? How is a pure devotee, father of Krishna, simple? So Prabhupada said, Nanda Maharaj is a simple Vaishya. For him, simplicity is good. But Vasudev is a Kshatriya. He cannot afford to be simple. He has to be diplomatic. So everyone should be properly engaged. No one should imitate others. If you are a Vaishya, if you are a Brahmana, simple. Kshatriya, diplomatic. One should not imitate the other Varna. But the main thing is, Prabhupada said, Nanda Maharaj was thinking about Krishna and even Vasudeva was thinking about Krishna. Main thing is, both were thinking about Krishna. Remembrance of Krishna is the main thing. If remembrance of Krishna is there, then everything else is all right. So regarding the Kshatriya has to be diplomatic. I remember Panch Pandav Prabhu yesterday was sharing he had visited a base camp, an army base somewhere in Jammu and Kashmir. So at the entrance there was one jawan who was trying to inspect him and scan him. They do thorough checking, and before they did thorough checking they first showed him a board which was put up there, and the board read, "Respect all, suspect all." So he said, "Maharaj, this is what is written, so I cannot spare you also." So he was thoroughly checked. So that is how it is. Kshatriya has to be, that's how Kshatriyas have to be. So even the Kshatriyas, even though they were diplomatic, that diplomacy was to protect the simplicity of the Varnashram Institute. The opulence of Prabhupada says that this simplicity is the opulence of Indian culture, of Vedic culture. And this simplicity which the Varnashram system preserves, maintains, is the first qualification to become a Vaishnava. Varnashram is a stepping stone for Vaishnavism, for transcendence. So simplicity is the first qualification. Saralata, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, simplicity is the first qualification to be a Vaishnava. Now Prabhupada, he gives different aspects of this simplicity. One thing is, simplicity means no duplicity. Straightforward. Straightforward in dealings. No hidden motivations. What is inside, that is outside. One should be so simple, Prabhupada says, that one can even speak the truth to his enemy. Now the Kshatriyas may not be able to follow this strictly, but in the sense, their diplomacy is like the diplomacy of a mother. If a mother wants to feed her child medicines, and the medicine, and the child is reluctant to take the medicine, and the mother puts the medicine inside the laddu and gives the child. The child eats the laddu, and along with the laddu, the medicine also goes inside. Now you cannot blame the mother to play politics. She's not playing politics. She's trying to be diplomatic for the welfare of her child. That's how the Kshatriyas, the ideal Kshatriyas, the Rajarishis of the Varnashrama system, they were also simple from this perspective, because their diplomacy was for protection, was out of compassion. So this is the first understanding of simplicity. To be straightforward. Another aspect of simplicity is simplicity of living. Simple living. No luxurious lifestyle. That is another aspect of simplicity. Example of Kulavecha Sridhar. But even the Kshatriyas of the Vedic era, they were also simple at heart. For example, the Pandavas, they were living in luxury, but as soon as they heard that Krishna has left, they renounced everything and left for the forest, towards the north, it is said. So even the Kshatriyas, apparently they were living in opulence, but at heart they were simple. Another aspect of simplicity is unsophisticated in mannerisms. Sometimes we tend to behave in a certain way in public, just to be socially acceptable. But simplicity means no such pretension. And then another aspect of simplicity is simple acceptance of what the Shastras tell, what Krishna tells, and what the Guru says. Simple acceptance. This is so crucial, so important. I'd like to focus on this particular aspect of simplicity. Simple acceptance of Krishna's instructions. Simple acceptance of the instructions of the Shastras. Now if you see the modern civilization, it goes 180 degrees against this aspect of simplicity. It goes against all aspects of simplicity. But this in particular, no simple acceptance, doubt everything. In fact, that is the training of the modern civilization. When I was being trained for a competitive examination, it was told that when you look at a problem, if it looks too simple, doubt, there is something, it cannot be so simple. There is something wrong here. There is a catch here. Doubt it. And then find the catch and then solve the problem. Don't be simple. So, in my college, the professor would be solving some problem and there would be students sitting in the class. While the professor is solving the problem, they are solving the problem in some other way. And then when the professor solves the problem, then they'll say, actually, sir, we can solve this problem in the shorter method, which is better. It's impressive. It's impressive. But the point is, it's based on the foundation of not accepting what the professor is telling. You don't accept, no simple acceptance. The greatness is measured by how you are able to refute the professor. So that's the modern civilization. Simple acceptance, you know, like in this purport, it is said, modern sophisticated people often look down their noses at those engaged in agricultural work, those who are simple people. They look down their noses. They look down upon. If you go on the internet, YouTube, if a particular, it's banned here, YouTube is blocked. But sometimes for services, I have to go. So, suppose a video has so many likes, no? So many, you know, voted up, thumbs up. Someone will come and vote it down. Just because, why everything should, everyone has to vote up? At least one person has to vote it down. So I will do that. So simple acceptance, no, doubt, reject the authority. Something is wrong. A fault has to be found. That is what modern civilization is all about. Skepticism, doubt. That is the training. That's in the atmosphere everywhere in the modern civilization. Skepticism and doubt. Now this skepticism and doubt. Now one more thing I remembered. There are websites which are dedicated for skepticism, questions and answers. And there are people who are addicted to certain social networking sites. So there are people who spend hours and hours daily simply asking questions on the internet. Skeptical questions and giving skeptical answers. That in one sense actually shows what is going on. What's popular in the world? What's popular in the world? And these sites have millions of users. Millions of users. Some of the most popular sites, questions and answers. They don't want standard answers. There should be facility to throw your answer and to throw your question. So doubt and skepticism is everywhere in the atmosphere in the modern world, in the modern civilization.
Now doubt has its place in spiritual life also. In the third kind of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila, he describes what are the characteristics of intelligence. Samshayo atha viparyaso nishchaya smriti revacha. The first characteristic of intelligence is doubt. Because unless doubt is a sign of intelligence. And unless we doubt material life, we cannot take to spiritual life seriously. Taking to spiritual life seriously begins with doubt. When we doubt, am I this material body? Most people are living their lives assuming that they are this body. So spiritual life actually begins when you doubt, am I this material body? Who am I? That is how. Is material life the source of happiness? Doubt. So we cannot take to spiritual life seriously unless we seriously doubt material life. So from this perspective, doubt is very important in the beginning. But then Prabhupada says, doubting the authority is not good. Now, doubt is like throwing a person in midair. It's not a natural position for the living, it's an abnormal position. It's like a no man's land. Doubt is a no man's land. Because doubt in of itself, cannot tell us what is the truth. Doubt cannot tell us what is the truth. It can only, through doubt, we can only doubt what is supposed to be the truth. But it cannot give us what is the truth. And so the person is in an abnormal state. So those people who are constantly doubting, you know, those who are hardcore into the scientific field. Science, modern science is about doubting. Research, what is research? Doubt, doubt, doubt. So those who are too much into this, you know, they are sometimes abnormal behavior. Like in IIT Bombay, you know, they got a long corridor, and on either sides there are departments. A long corridor is there, and on other sides there are departments. That's how it is. So on these corridors, no vehicles are allowed, not even bicycles. You have to walk. So the electrical department, it comes on the right side of the corridor. So one of the professors used to walk through the corridor, and then when he has to go to the electrical department, he used to first show signal like this and then take the right turn. Maybe he used to get a doubt that someone might come from behind and crash into him. Who knows? So when you start doubting, you know, we start doubting everything. Then you become little abnormal. Now if you see the Mayavadis, their spiritual practice is about studying the Upanishads. And doubt is a very major factor of their study of the Upanishads. So the Mayavadis, their sadhana is about no man's land. Their sadhana is about being in midair. It's like an abnormal situation. So they have to land somewhere. So they land in philanthropic activities. Because the living entity is anandamayo bhyasat, pleasure seeking. We need pleasure. Doubt is an abnormal situation for a living entity. The living entity wants pleasure. You know? Pleasure comes through love. loving and being loved. And when can love come? There cannot be love unless there is trust. And how can there be trust when there is constant doubt? So we see in the modern civilization, because doubt is all pervading, people are trained to doubt. Doubt is in the air, doubt is in between the atoms. So that is why people have difficulty even trusting close relationships. And there is, when there is no trust, there cannot be love. There cannot be a satisfying relationship. And there is no satisfying relationship, there is no pleasure. So there are no stable relationships in modern civilization. And because there is no pleasure, because there is no satisfying relationship, so much mental problems. It is said in the 21st century that mental health is going to be the number one killer. Because people are in an abnormal state. They are trained to be skeptics. They are trained to doubt everything. So in the process of devotional service, before I go into that, I would like to give an explanation given by a brilliant explanation given by Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. Very nice explanation. How doubt is harmful for a sadhaka. He says that mind creates material desires and intelligence creates doubts. Both take us away from Krishna. But when the mind creates material desires and we go after the material desires, we eventually become frustrated, we become humble, and we take shelter of Krishna. But what does doubt do? When we doubt, sometimes doubt the very process of devotional service. Sometimes we doubt Krishna. So when we doubt, we are taking a superior position of being judgmental. And that takes us away from Krishna. Far away. Because we are taking a superior position, a judgmental position, a proud position. There is no humility there. So doubt is very dangerous. So even though doubt is good in the beginning, but then as the verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam says, samshayo atha viparyaso nishchaya. After doubting the viparyasa, the wrong understanding, after you doubt the wrong understanding, suppose the wrong understanding that you are the body, so you doubt whether I am this material body, but then it is not that you remain there. It is not that throughout the life we are simply in the first session of Bhagavad Gita course, who am I? We have to come to the next level, nischaya. That I am spirit soul. So doubt has to be followed by viparyasa and nishchaya. After correction of misapprehension, there has to be correct apprehension. That is needed. It is very important for the devotees, for the sadhakas. Because unless devotees in devotional service, we learn to put simple faith, we cannot experience the pleasure of spiritual life. Now, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he says that nothing strengthens faith like positive experience. So when you have got a positive experience in spiritual life, that strengthens our faith. But even to have that positive experience, we have to invest our faith somewhere. Suppose we are going to get a positive experience through chanting of Hare Krishna. But we won't get that positive experience which will strengthen our faith unless we put a simple faith that here is Krishna. We learn to focus on the holy names. So even when we are chanting, we are doubting what I am doing. Is this the right process? So if doubts are haunting us, even while following the process of devotional service, where is the question of getting a positive experience? And unless we get that positive experience, where is the question of strengthening the faith? So we get stuck. We are in midair many times. Devotees, we find ourselves in midair, in no man's land. So it's important that we learn to put simple faith in the scriptures, in the shastras, simple acceptance. And Prabhupada, he wanted devotees to have this simple faith. And he pushed them to the limits so that they will have this simple faith. This is an example, this is a story in the 1960s, moon landing. Prabhupada was in London, so he was testing one of his servants, is telling that, I am not telling that man is not landing on the moon. It is the Shastras. Simply accept what is given in the Shastras. That it is not possible. It's a heavenly planet. It cannot go in the self-same body. It is not my opinion. It is what is given in the Shastras. So we have to accept it. He was pushing. And one of his servants left. He couldn't take it. More than what he could handle. So towards 1975, Prabhupada was translating the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Cosmological description according to the Vedic scriptures. So Prabhupada, during his morning walks, used to engage in debates, mock debates with his disciples. Someone used to play the devil's advocate and say that, how modern science shows, this is how it is, how can you say it is not so, this is so. And Prabhupada used to engage in these mock debates. So Prabhupada during this time was in Australia, and one day he used to take afternoon massages. Shruti Kriti Prabhu was massaging Prabhupada. It used to take hours to massage Prabhupada. So Shruti Kriti Prabhu was massaging Prabhupada's back. And Prabhupada said, no, actually, it's a very, very, very sweet pastime. I'm paraphrasing. I don't exactly remember the details. It's in What is the Difficulty by Shruti Kriti Prabhu. So Prabhupada said, you know, if the mother says that this is the father, so you accept, right, that he is the father? What do you say, Prabhupada asked. Shruti Kriti Prabhu was massaging. He's a very simple devotee. So he got a little confused. He thought that maybe Prabhupada wants me to engage in a mock debate. So he told Prabhupada, but then we have to believe that the mother is telling the truth. He was playing the devil's advocate. Devil even won't put faith in the mother. So Prabhupada immediately became angry. What do you mean? What choice do you have? If the mother is telling, then you have to accept. And Shruti Kriti Prabhu became very nervous. Prabhupada suddenly erupted in anger. So slowly massaging. And he says in the book that on that particular day, he wished that someone else were massaging instead of him, Prabhupada. And time was passing very slowly. Again Prabhupada asked, so what do you say? We should accept, right, what the mother says? Sudhakriti Prabhu says, I don't know what happened to me. Again I told. We should believe, then we should believe in the mother. Then only we can accept. Again Prabhupada starts shouting. What do you mean? If you don't believe, then why are you here? What are you doing? What are you doing in this movement? If you don't have simple faith in the Shastras. So Sudhakriti Prabhu, we started wondering, maybe I did something wrong. So this happened on one particular day. The next day in the night, Sudhakriti Prabhu was massaging Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. Again Prabhupada raised the issue. And he said, do you believe when I say what is given in the Shastras is right? Sudhakriti Prabhu said, yes Prabhupada, I believe. Prabhupada said, thank you. I don't want you to leave like my old servant left. So Prabhupada was testing whether I am pushing him beyond limits. With acceptance of what is given in the Shastras. That was Prabhupada's compassionate heart. He didn't want devotees to go away, not able to accept what is given in the Shastras, but at the same time, he wanted the devotees to have simple faith in the scriptures. Because if there is no simple faith in the scriptures, how can a devotee make spiritual advancement? Now, I was very touched by one particular lecture given by His Holiness Gaur Govind Swami Maharaj. He gave this class in Michigan in 1991. He tells the story of a boy, a simple village boy. To go to his school, he had to cross a jungle. So there are many ferocious animals in the jungle. So he told his mother, I become afraid on the way. What should I do? So the mother said, you call out to Gopal. Gopal will come and protect you. So the boy, he went to the forest, he became afraid, then he called out to Gopal. Gopal came and took him through the forest and he went to school happily. So in this way, daily he used to go through the forest and daily Gopal used to come with him, accompanying him through the forest path. So then there was Ganesh and Saraswati Puja in the school. Teacher said, everyone should get some money for the puja. The boy's mother said, we don't have money. We'll provide milk for the abhishek. So the boy told the teacher. Teacher said, okay. But where is the milk? No milk also. Mother said, ask Gopal. Gopal has a lot of cows. Gopal will give milk. So the boy, he went. And he called out to Gopal. He said, Gopal, I want milk for the abhishek. So Gopal said, okay, I'll give you milk. So in a pot, he gave Gopal milk. The boy milk. The boy took the milk to the school. And there the teacher said, we need several buckets of milk. You have brought only this much milk. So the boy said, you pour the milk into the bucket. As much milk as you pour, so much milk will come from simply this pot. You go on putting that milk. So it was inexhaustible. Akshay Patra. So there was plenty of milk and the abhishek was done. So Gaur Govind Maharaj says, this boy, small boy, he could see Gopal. Why we can't see Gopal? Because we don't have simple faith. Now Gauranga and Mara's super purity. If you simply read that lecture, we get tons of simple faith. Simply the way he speaks. He says to his audience, because you are crooked, there is duplicity in your heart, that is why you are not able to see Gopal. And we have to learn to become simple in order to be able to see Krishna. Why can't we see Krishna? We'll see Krishna. But do we have that faith? Do we have that simple faith? How to become simple in that way? He gives two solutions. One is loud Sankirtan. Through loud Sankirtan, one can gain that simple faith. Another, he says, is associate with simple devotees. With devotees who have that simple faith. If it is associated with devotees who have that simple faith, we will also gain that simple faith. These are the two solutions he recommends. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantra Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.